And the conversation continues with our He Says, She Says, Part 3. Welcome to Tuesday, July 19, 2022's Let's Do a Radio segment of Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. The topic, He Says, She Says, What Do You Hear? But coming from the woman's perspective, and when she speaks, what does she hear? I am Miss Inez, your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer at Monice.co Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Call into the show if you want to partake, join in the conversation, or just be an active listener, or even go into the chat room at 845-241-9985, and let's talk about it. You know, when she says one thing and he hears another, and vice versa, as I said in the other shows, but she says one thing and he hears another. Well, come to the table and talk about what's really bothering you, or what you hear when something is being said. Do you understand the words that are coming from my mouth? Again, the number to call in is 845-241-9985. I looked on the World Wide Web for phrases and found under www.sheknows.com. Brother Parks, you want to go on mute and tell it's time to talk because we hear all that background noise.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. And, I looked on www.phrases and found under www.sheknows.com and to say lib, L-I-B, .com as well for 50 things women say and men don't seem to understand as to what women say versus what men hear and what we really mean. Here are our first of five phrases they came up with, and of course the first one is a doozy. And we women, when we hit on some of the 50 phrases at the www.tosaylid.com, well, I'll just open up with this first one and we can go from there. First, I'm going to see if we have anybody else who's joined us. And we have, I think that is Reverend Carolyn. How you doing, Reverend Carolyn? How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. Good to have you a part of my life.
And you feeling better from last week?
Well, I feel good, but my vocal cords are still not healed, so I have to fill out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know it's a challenge for you because you like to praise God, you like to pray for people, you like to do all the wonderful things. But we're going to get started, and the first thing we have is what she says, do I look like I've gained weight? And what he hears is this a trick question? But what she really means is, I'm feeling self-conscious and need a compliment from you right now. So what do you all think about that? So I'm going to ask Brother Parks first. You know, when you hear a woman say, do I look like I've gained weight or do I look fat in these? What do you hear a woman say?
Well, I guess I'm hearing that she wants to be complimented, you know. And
right.
She wants your opinion and stuff. So, but I will always tell my wife, "Oh, you look gorgeous." In my earlier days, I would have been saying, "Yeah, you done put on some pounds, girl. You need to, you know what you need to do. You need to get on that treadmill."
Wow.
Or something.
Uh-huh.
But now in my past years, I'm saying, "Hey, baby, you know, like, you look beautiful to me." You know.
Right. And how many years have you been with her now?
Over 30.
See there? So you've learned to give and take, and you know what her buttons are to push and not to push, and you know how to feel good about everything, right?
Yeah, you know, it took a while to understand, You know, it's not right, all about
right.
you. Not all about
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she
mm-hmm.
know what she know what buttons that she can push for me. You know, and I'm just like, well, as long as I get my 5%, you know, I'm content with that because I've been there, done that. You know,
right, right.
And I didn't really give everything else a time to
mm-hmm.
take place because I was always on the move. You know,
right, 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 right. Wow. And Miss Carolyn, so when we say, you know, the words that we say to a man, do I look like I've gained weight? Is that what we're really saying, or is it that we really want a compliment?
You asking me a question?
Yes, ma'am.
You asking me? Well,
yes, ma'am.
You know, I can't speak for all women. Some women may want whomever they're communicating, asking
mm-hmm.
that question to. They may want that person to be open and honest with them in
mm-hmm.
regards to the question. And some women
right.
Know the answer to the question, but they want
mm-hmm.
to feel like I'm still the apple of your eye. And so
right,
you don't comment
right.
on the question itself. You just say, like the part that you still look good. You still wear that dress good. Or baby,
mm-hmm,
it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You still got my heart. So, you know, it's good to compliment if a woman or wife has asked their spouse or vice versa, even if it's the guy that says that, you know,
uh-huh.
they still should want open and honesty and not get offended when the question is answered,
mm-hmm.
but also compliment
right.
that no matter what, you know, you're not riding the boat by yourself. I got some extra too. You know, we can
right,
work
right,
on it
right,
together.
Right.
Dealing with it in the right way, being considerate of the question and the feelings, because not everybody
mm-hmm.
Let me say it like this. Some people are very sensitive, and if they ask the question
right.
and they really
mm-hmm.
want you to be honest with them, and then you be honest, and then they're offended and they're hurt, and you know, and then some want, you know, that compliment, and if you don't compliment,
uh-huh.
then they're still hurt and they're wounded, and so you just got to know who you're talking to, who's asking you the question, you know,
gotcha.
And allow the Lord to give you wisdom how to answer the question. I just think, yeah, but
okay. Okay. That sounds about right. And the next one, when she says, I'm fine, what he hears is, I'm fine. But what she really means is, I'm not fine at all, and I want you to figure it out and make me feel better. That's kind of rough. You know, especially as we always had said before in the conversations that we talked about, it's all in context. All in context. What is it? I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. You know, it depends on how she says it. I'm fine. He hears I'm fine. So I guess I'm fine. Correct? Not necessarily. So, Mr. Parks, when you hear she says I'm fine, is she really saying it, that she's fine? Or what do you see in her face? You know, is she really fine? Like, or does she just want you to get out of her face? Or what is it? What do you give me your perspective? Mm-hmm.
When you build in a relationship, you know,
mm-hmm.
you invest so much time in the relationship,
uh-huh.
you're gonna know what the answer to that question is. You know,
right.
you're gonna know because you can't miss the signs if you're present. Now, if you're not not present and you don't spend all that time in a relationship, then anything could happen, you know.
Right,
just
right.
Like the Reverend said, you build a time in a relationship and then you share, you know, what's going on, then she will know that you know. If you don't,
okay,
you're in trouble. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're in trouble.
You know, it's just being there and, you know, the things, the stress, the trials and tribulations that you go through with a person, okay, you're going to know. She's going to know that when she's at home, almost exactly what I'm doing, you know, even though I'm not there. You see?
Right. She has that confidence in you.
Oh, yeah. You got to put in the work, too. You know, relationships are complicated, especially with everything that's going on in the world now, you know. I just got out of the store. Mm-hmm. I went to the store, right? I bought a watermelon. The watermelon cost $17. I knew my wife was going to get on me for buying a watermelon that cost $17, okay?
Right.
And when I got home, and she said, she looked at the receipt, and she said, oh, wait a minute, baby. You know we can't trust no watermelon you want to buy out of the store and stuff like that. So cut it open, and it was a dud. You know, and I took it back to the store, you know, immediately. But if she had been actually going to look for a watermelon, my wife would have looked 3 or 4 different places, okay?
Okay.
And she would have got a clerk. She would have got a clerk to test that watermelon. So what do you think? And if it wasn't no good, I would have took it back, or she would have took it back. So it's all in.
Okay.
You got to know what your mate, is doing. You know, we don't take time now because there's so much other things that's involved in that. High prices, appeal, and everything. Girl, we went to family reunion, and guess what? The price of fuel and stuff is almost $6 in Seattle. You know, and it's higher everywhere else. You know, so, and then when the crunch happens, it normally can be a factor in relationship. You know, money could be a factor in relationship. So if you got somebody that you understand and you pulling together, both of you guys are pulling together and stuff to make it meet, it sort of like makes up for some of the stuff that's going on. You know.
Okay. Because I know when I say I'm fine, I may not be fine. I just want to get over whatever's going on. It's like, I'm fine. Or I'm fine. But then as they say, no, you're not. You're lying. I said, no, it's fine. I'm really fine. You know. So in my context, you know, sometimes I guess it's all in how it's said again. And it's just, but she's really saying, I'm not fine at all. I want you to figure out and make me feel better. How, I don't know how she can even put that on the man. How are you going to make someone figure out how you're feeling if you don't tell them how you're feeling? That's like a whole different ball game right there. So it's like, it's not fair. It's just not fair at all in my eyes. You know, to put the resolution on somebody else saying I'm fine. He's not in my head. He don't know. So how can you even sit up there and tell that bold-faced tale? You know. So I don't know. I just think that it's wrong sometimes. I really do. I really, really do. Reverend Carolyn.
Well, Master, I got to use myself. But let me start right here. Brother Park did a whole lot, and I say it quite often that it takes communication to establish relationship, and it takes relationship to make marriage.
So if there's
yes.
no communication, no openness, no honesty, no
mm-hmm.
transparency,
mm-hmm.
Transparency
mm-hmm.
it's hard to have a relationship, let alone a marriage. So communication
okay.
is so important, and I agree that if,
mm-hmm.
say, for instance, a situation arises or a conversation that is debatable between two people, and one person is not quite receptive of the outcome, and they say, I'm fine, then I believe the other person needs to, they can't fix that person who say they're fine, but they're not fine. All they can do is move on and don't cry over the spilled milk, so to speak, you know, and just be sensitive, even if the person say they're fine. But knowing your person, knowing the person, your spouse, based on communication and transparency and honesty, it will let you know whether the person
uh-huh,
who's saying
uh-huh.
I'm fine is truly fine. Because some women may say I'm fine, and they get to slamming cabinets, and they get to walking around with their hand on their hip, or ignoring, act like you don't exist or whatever. I'm not, I don't do that, but have mercy. But you'll know whether that person is actually fine, and which means they're all right, they good, they gotten over it, they're not gonna dwell on it, they're not gonna be frustrated out
uh-huh.
whatever has
right.
happened to affect their
uh-huh.
attitude, you know, or
right,
their communication.
Right.
So knowing a person, I think it's just so important, whether it's marriage, whether it's business, whether it's friendship, communication
uh-huh.
is just so important.
Jeez.
And when you throw communication down the drain, you might as well say you've thrown the relationship and the marriage,
uh-huh.
business, whatever it is. You done threw it down the drain.
Right.
Because how can two people, scripture say, how can two people walk together except they agree? You know,
right.
just like
uh-huh.
God wanted
uh-huh.
want us to agree with him as he wanted Israel to agree with him, because he knew what was best. But it
right.
was just the
right.
opposite. Sometimes people think they know what's best, and they're not seeking the guidance and instruction as for what is best. And so
uh-huh.
it can cause friction, division. But knowing,
right,
I think
right.
that the bottom thing is when she says she's fine and she's really not
uh-huh.
fine, and she wants you to fix whatever her feelings, thoughts, emotion, whatever, the key
uh-huh.
to that is just being open, honest, and transparent, and having that good communication skills, that good relationship where you can
right.
talk about. And you will know without a shadow
uh-huh.
of a doubt, you will know whether they're actually fine or they're just saying I'm
uh-huh.
fine, and they all been out of whack for 2 and 3 and 4
right.
days. You know. You won't
right.
have to go 4
uh-huh.
days. You'll know right then and there as to whether, you know. And then you don't have to worry about trying to fix it. They ain't going to even think about, but I just want you to fix. They ain't going, that ain't going to even, but that's going to be the furthest thing from their thoughts. They're going to be willing to communicate about the situation and then let it go and go on. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, hey, and I think a lot of things have to be established initially, as we had talked about in our other segments, you know, establish communication to begin with, and then we'll know exactly what's going on and how somebody will feel, because you can, you know, you can read that person's body language and what have you. It's a sister, girlfriend, or baby, I know you're not fine, so, you know, what is really going on? I'm fine. No, I can tell in your attitude you are not fine. So, you know, you have to be able to read that person and their body language as well. And if it's a new relationship, you know, you have to, you know, go on and figure things out. So, you know, basically, this is it. Are you fine, sister girlfriend, or are you not fine? So tell the truth, shame the devil. And then, as again, you say, I'm fine. And the next one is, nothing's wrong, is what she says. And he hears, nothing's wrong. And then what she really means is, you hurt my feelings, and I want you to apologize. Well, then you need to say that, correct? Nothing's wrong when there really is something wrong. How do I want to say this? She's not given the full story of what's going on. You know, nothing's wrong. Okay, that doesn't seem like it. You can tell that there's something wrong, again, by her actions, by the way she's swinging things around, as Reverend Williamson said, by the way that she's not talking to you, something's wrong. Okay, if you hurt my feelings, you say, I really didn't appreciate the way you blah, 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 blah. You hurt my feelings. I think you can get farther along with that than saying nothing's wrong. That's just the easy way out. That's just the liar's way out in my eyes. How y'all feel? Brother Parks?
Well,
Sister Williams?
Well, yeah, I agree. I agree, you know. Women are more temperamental in situations and stuff than men are, you know.
Right.
And it's just
right,
like
right.
knowing who you hooked up with.
Right.
Knowing who you hooked up with and stuff. And then in my old age, I guess I'm just more stable in what's going on, and I really seen it, and I've been there, and I'm like, you know, the first thing I got to do is make sure that I pay attention to the signs, okay? Pay attention as to what's going on. Like, I don't know if I told you guys this, but my wife, she went through she's still actually going through cancer. She's in remission. She's been in remission for 5 years. So I know that I have to pay close attention to what's going on, because I know exactly how she's feeling. You know, everything that intricately going on. So I gotta have some vision and stuff to be able to pick up the indicators, you know.
Right,
and let her
right.
know that she's not going through this thing alone. You know, she's been in remission for 5 years, and you know that she's still taking this medication and stuff, you know, that is related to her cancer to keep her equilibrium or whatever they call that stuff up, you know. So you just have to be able to, and then, hey, there's nothing like a good hug and a good I love you no matter what, you know. You know, and I used to be like, okay, this is what I want to do, and then I'm going to do it, you know. But it's like, hey, you know something? I think I would like to do A, B, C, and D. And she had never said, no, you ain't going to do this, you ain't going to do that. And all have I ever said, told her, you
right.
know, that she ain't going to do nothing, because, you know, she's a professional, okay?
Okay.
She's a professional. Mm-hmm. At her work, where she works at and stuff, people really, really, really treasure what she do for her company, you know. And I know that. And she is like a general, okay?
We okay.
She's like a general, so, and I understand that, you know. But you just have to understand the signs, and you have to try and be there and stuff. And it's incumbent that a man be able to understand what the situation is and be able to compliment that. On the second hand, I don't let her up. I don't. I make sure she's not gonna feel sorry for herself. You know. That we still have much work to do, and right now it's all about our family. You know, about the young people and stuff getting to see what's going on. So, and she don't pull no punch. She pulls no punches.
You mean pulls and doesn't hold any punches?
None of that. You know, you be she got her hands down, and you be thinking, wow, I know she's gonna give you a right hook, and then all of a sudden she gives you an uppercut.
That's funny.
But you know,
that is funny.
You just have to be able to. I think that men is mm-hmm. it's a man's responsibility to see that, you know, to be able to see that.
Okay. And read the signs, like you say.
Yeah, gotta know what's mm-hmm. going on.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. You, Reverend Williamson?
Well, I was just listening to Brother Parks and being interested, you know, caring about what's
uh-huh.
going on. You know, whether it's the
gotcha.
Whether it's me or whether it's he, you gotta be interested. And if you're not interested, you're not gonna know what's going on. You're not gonna even care what's going on. You know,
you
so
won't
that
be
you'll be
right.
So that you, if you're not interested, you can't be in tune. That's just like
uh-huh.
like having
uh-huh.
having a show on TV or a game or something.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not interested in watching it, well, you're not gonna be in tune with it. You ain't, somebody might say, "Man, did you see that? Or did you hear that, Baba?" Well, you wasn't even in tune with it, so. So it's
right.
the same way with relationship. You got to be in tune, and you got to want to be in tune. Because if you don't
mm-hmm.
want to be
mm-hmm.
in tune, you don't want to be considered, you don't want to care or want to know what's going on or how he's feeling or vice versa, then you're not
mm-hmm.
going to. And can't nobody make you
right.
Want to be in tune. You gotta love enough that I wanna know and I wanna be there and I wanna support and I wanna encourage. I wanna let you know you're not by yourself. You're not walking this
mm-hmm.
this tightrope by yourself. It might seem tight and you're gonna fall off, but you gotta know communication is back to communication. Is that I got you.
Right.
We're riding this together. We're gonna ride it all the way out. And so knowing how to communicate, what's the right words to use in the communication when she says something that seems to be in their eyes, it may seem like negative or why she's saying what she's saying. You got to be sensitive
mm-hmm.
to know how to respond to whatever statement is stated and whatever question is asked. You gotta be sensitive and you gotta be in tune. That's the key. Being in tune and communication will help you to stay in tune.
Exactly. That's the key. If you don't communicate, you will have basically nothing. You won't know what's going on.
Oh.
Period, as I say. Period.
Lord have mercy.
He said, Lord have mercy.
I did, because I just had a thought. It just comes
mm-hmm.
to me how people can be married for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but
uh-huh.
not care enough to know what is going on, not just in the physical area of their lives, but in the spiritual or in the workplace. Just not being interested. It's just. It's sad when relationship,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
marriage is such as where two people are not one people, they're individuals. So in other words,
separate.
I don't know what's going on with you. You don't know what's going on with me. And that goes
uh-huh.
back to lack of communication because
gotcha.
There should be that communication where whatever's going on, vice versa, those people need to be, you don't need to get no surprise until I say, you know?
Right.
I remember this married couple, been married
uh-huh.
a long time, and the wife
ended up having cancer, but she told the doctor, don't tell my husband, don't tell my sister. So they just kind of kept it all a secret, you know, and she was riding this thing by herself. And, you know, when it got to the bad, really bad, where she's about to check out, then the family got to be dropped with a bomb. Well, she done had cancer for 20 years, and you know, that's heartbreaking, because it says, whether it's he or she, it just says you didn't trust me enough, love me enough to tell me so I can walk with you through this process. Mm-hmm. Goes back to communication. Mm-hmm. Communication is so so prevalent in relationship, in marriages. It's so, and like Brother Park said, with everything going on in the world today, the last thing should keep people from being, having conversation and transparency and open and honesty with one another. It should be what's going on in the world. That shouldn't affect marriage and relationship. But if we're not careful, we allow lots of things. I mean, so many things that will tear it down, tear it up. Break it up, but communication is the number one. I believe that communication is the number one that can destroy a marriage, a relationship, business, whatever. It'll destroy.
You mean a lack of communication.
You're not talking. Lack of communication. That's the biggest. I think that's the biggest demon on the earth nowadays.
Hello, Miss Lynette.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
James.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
And everybody else is there?
And,
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm well. Thank you. And we also have another caller with the last 40598. You want to let us know who you are and where you're calling from, or if you're just listening? The last 40598.
Oh, hi, Miss Annette.
She the cop, right?
Oh, hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and yourself?
Oh, good, good, good. Thank you for joining us. I thought that was your number. So thank you for joining us. And tonight we're talking about he said, she said. Excuse me?
Can you just brief me on the topic? I just logged in.
Oh, we're talking about he says, she says, and this is our third, basically, segment on, you know, women understanding men, what they say, and men understanding women, what they say, and what do you hear when she says something, and what does she hear when he says something? So tonight is, we got these phrases from the women. The last 2 weeks, we had saying some men, and okay, I'm saying this, but what is she really hearing? So that's what we're talking about this evening. And we just got through with when she says nothing's wrong, what he hears is nothing's wrong, but what she really means is you hurt my feelings and I want you to apologize. But it's kind of hard for a man to you know, apologize.
To read mine.
He doesn't know that, right, if he doesn't know that the feelings are hurt. So that's where we got, and that's where both Mr. Parks and Reverend Williamson was saying, hey, I can't apologize for what I don't know. If you say nothing's wrong, I hear nothing's wrong. So I can't apologize if nothing is wrong. Okay, you're good. Then she goes off in a tangent, you know, in her little, you know, messed up face, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. Oh, you just don't, you know, love me. You just don't really appreciate it. Well, you said nothing's wrong, so I'm going with nothing's wrong. Now, if we have a sit down, come to Jesus meeting, say, hey, you hurt my feelings, and blah 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 blah, then he can apologize. But he can't apologize if you don't know. That's how I feel. So.
Yeah, but you know, one of the most famous, most prevalent phrases that women always use is "you should have known." You know, that's in every woman's mind, right? Right.
You know what? you know.
Let me see if I can read your mind right now. What, Miss Dinan?
Boy, no, I'm joking. No, but and that's sad because again we talk about communication. If the communication isn't open, then you might as well, you have a mute point. You know, there's nothing going on. Another thing going on. Mm-hmm. And we also have caller with the last 4-3-1-4-5 who just joined us. If you want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Three, one, five, last 4 digits of your phone number. Okay. Well, they may be on mute at the moment. Okay, the next one, I don't even know if I want to even talk about because it's just crazy. It says, she says, what she says is, when you do the dishes, you should do them this way. What he hears is, you're an idiot and you did it wrong. But what she really means is, I'm just trying to help. So so there's all kind of like, where are we really going with this? So we're going to start with, I'm going to start with Joe since, you know, he just came on the line. So when you hear, well, when you do the dishes, you should do them this way. What is it that you hear?
Well, it's probably what you just mentioned. You think I'm an idiot? I mean, you do the dishes. It's only the front and the back. So how can you miss? You're either going to do the front first or the back.
But you didn't stack them right. But you didn't stack them
right. And
what
is stack? Look, if I, how am I supposed to stack them? Gravity works no matter if you stack them to the left, to the right, as long as the water drips down. So
I know.
Where is this? Yeah. So that's what I would say. Now, there's something that's underlying that particular message. Because if she has to direct a man into doing something which is so simple, either he is an idiot because he's stacking dishes one on top of the other instead of side to side so that the water drips down, or she's trying to be a pain in the butt, and he notices
sometimes
that.
Sometimes that's
okay. So he's got So in this particular case, both of them have to say, or at least the man, because he feels like he's being maligned in some way. What's the problem, honey? You know, I mean, you see the water, right? And if you say, you see the water dripping down, but, and if she continues on with trying to teach him the architectural science of stacking dishes, then there's more to it than just stacking dishes. And you got to try to get to the bottom of it.
Gotcha. Okay, that's Aaron out there who's a 3145. So he's got some things that he's also doing. So, but it's like I'm gonna ask Miss Carolyn what she thinks. When you say when you do the dishes, you should do them this way, Reverend Carolyn. Okay, we're going to go to Reverend Parks. Mr. Parks.
I'm sorry.
Reverend Parks.
Go ahead, Reverend Carolyn.
That's George.
Well, bless the Lord. I was doing dishes, as a matter of fact. But you know, I think that if vice versa, woman or female, say, you didn't do the dishes right, I think there's some underlying issue there, because if we've been together long enough, and I ain't my first time, my first rodeo, shall I say, in doing dishes, then, you know, you would have said something when we first met or had that dinner together or whatever, and I washed the dishes, you wouldn't have said, you'd have said, you know, baby, this is the way I do my dishes. And so being that they would have been more, I guess, shall I say, to say, okay, well, I could do that, you know, that I could work with that. And so they know how.
Right.
To stack the dishes or whatever the case may be, but I think that's just underlying for something else to nitpick about the way you do dishes. And I don't think that's not important anyway. It shouldn't be important in relationship as to how you stack the dishes. If I get in there and take the initiative
to wash the dishes, and I don't stack them in the order you stack them in, all bowls at the front and sauces in front and plates at the back. As long as I stack them in there, I wash them. I stack them in there, they're going to dry, and I'm going to put them up.
But I think
that if one is nitpicking about how one washed the dishes, put the dishes in the rack, I think there's something underlying. And the best thing, I think the best way to solve it is says, okay, let's sit down and have a chat about the dishes. You know, let's find out what's wrong with my dish put away or my dish what. Yeah, what's the real? But I gotta since they brought the dishes in, I don't like the way you do the dishes or stack the dishes. I have to stick with the dishes and let the dishes be the metaphor of trying to get to the bottom of what the real problem is. You know,
gotcha.
And hopefully back to openness and transparency and honesty and communication, it will come out. Even if he or she may not want to say, well, that wasn't the real reason I said that. But if you fish long enough, you know, you probably can catch the fish.
You're going to catch something. Right. I like that.
Yeah, and then once you catch it, you don't beat them up and say, I knew I was sucking to that. Just watch this.
That is funny.
You don't turn the script and say, I knew it was something more to that dishwashing. You just had to find the reason. No, you just, once you find the fish or catch something, you just, it's a learning process. You learn to, okay. Well, baby, I'll make sure I make an effort to make sure them dishes are lined up right. You know, and we're going to be all
right.
It's all good. Yeah, communication.
There you go. I like that. But communication. Okay. So, Mr. Aaron, you out there with us?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, fine, sir?
Can you hear me? Okay.
I can.
How's everybody?
I'm going to let everybody answer for themselves. I can only speak for myself. I'm fine. Thank you.
We also have
LaQuita Parks on the line of PayProV Publishing, and that is Mr. Parks' daughter, who I got to see last week. Yay! So she's out of the Atlanta area. Good. So this evening so far we have Miss LaQuita, Mr. Aaron, my ride and die girl out of Maryland, Rhonda, who's my quiet, silent partner. We have Reverend Carolyn. We have Sergeant Parks. And we have Montana Joe. That's who we have with us this evening thus far. So, and we're talking about he says, she says, and basically from a woman's perspective, you know, when she says one thing, he hears one thing, but what does she really mean? So that's what we're talking about this evening. So, and the topic the line we're talking about now is when she says, when you do the dishes, you should do them this way. What he hears is, you're an idiot and you did it wrong. But what she really means is, I'm just trying to help. So we're going to go with Aaron. What do you think of that, Aaron? If you were faced with that, you're doing the dishes wrong.
I think, of course, we all have been facing that sometime or other in one of our relationships. That's the truth. But, you know, one thing I think we all to realize is that when human beings come together, they're bringing everything with them from the past. You know, depending on our age and our maturity and how we're seasoned, when you're more seasoned, you catch the fact, you know, hey, this ain't about the dishes. When you're young, you're still in the crack. You can't tell me how to do this. This is my house. You're out there. If you don't like to do it yourself, then. So we're dealing with the age difference, the season, and the maturity of a person. And then, even in that, you're still dealing with the upbringing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Some places are more dominant, especially if we're older. A lot of, I didn't have no sisters, so we had to do dishes. But my friends, and I'm just saying this because my friends that never did dishes, never did things, he'll probably take it like, oh, I don't know how to do this because I never did them, so don't ask to do it no more. They're not even going to think about the real root of the problem. But those of us who have done this with our lives more so, we understand how insignificant that question, that statement is. Oh, come on, this is just this. You know, there's more to this than just the dishes. And in order of compromising two couples coming together, if we don't fix this problem, we're soon walking into a separation problem very shortly. So the dish problem is a way of, hey, we got some things we got to work on. You know, because it's going to be some dish, how you made the bed, how you run the sweeper. You know, I've been in a situation, and I'm going to tell the truth. I ran a sweeper one way, you know, one row. And the woman I was with at the time, she didn't like that straight row. She was pretty crisscrossed. It was adamant about it. Adamant about it to where, and I was young, so we dealt with pride. We dealt with pride. So yes, we won't be vacuuming no more. You know what I mean? So, you know,
right.
We all deal with what we bring through in the past. And our order of compromising, because we're all mature adults on the phone right now, and we're coming from a mature aspect. But take yourself back to when you were 20, when you were 20, between 20 and 25. Your whole aspect, if this question came up to you, would be a processing thing, you know, especially as males. You know, as males, because, I mean, let's just be honest, I'll say this, you'll probably get a head chopped off, but the feminist movement wasn't as strong as it is right now. So a lot of things that us males say, it used to be natural to say or suggest you can't do that nowadays because we're coming from a different era, you know. And that era that we come from is, oh, how should I say this? I can keep my head.
Go ahead, say it.
We're coming from a point where males were the head of the conversation, the household. If there was a debate, the male had the last say. This is the era I came up. That's not like that anymore. And when I'm saying it's not like that anymore, I don't mean because of 20-year-old, 25. I mean from 45 to 65 because things have changed. You know what I mean? And now, as males, we have to be more adamant of listening and hearing. And look, I ain't saying I'm doing that. I'm working on it. I'm trying, but I am a little more old-fashioned than I thought, and I didn't realize it until you had this conversation tonight. I kept hearing talk. I was like, I am old-fashioned.
Okay.
It's we got some, us men. I'm just gonna say men because I'm a man. I ain't a woman. We really got some inventory to go through and things look at. And there must be changes in the way we deal with women. And also be changes in what a woman will not accept. Because check it, a man will not push that five doors open if she stops at my door number one. Really stops. If she doesn't, keep flowing. But if she steps up and say, I ain't taking it, that's it, blah, 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 blah. We'd be like, oh, wait a minute.
What did I do?
For most of us, it takes that, put your foot down, well, we're going to walk all over.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work.
Put down, most of us men will back down.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay. Mr. Park?
I'm going to use my phone and listen now.
For the next one?
We have, before the crew that just got on joined us, we had already discussed that, and it's all of the above. It's all of the above, you know, and you just got to you got to be in tune as to what is going on. And if you were sharp enough before you married that person, or before you got intimately involved with that person to understand, you know, what type of person she was or how temperamental she was about the minutest of things, you know, there is a way, like the like the gentleman just said, there is a way to be able to
Aaron,
to get through it, you know, to be able to get through it. And like we already talked about, crises that are going on to influence what relationships and stuff, to influence relationships, the high price, everything, gas, whatever, you know, is another reason, okay, that we have relationships that are going down the smoke or down the tubes as we speak, you know.
Uh-huh.
Really got to understand and know, you know. And I'm just saying, I'm saying this for women and stuff, because we got men and stuff that are hairbone like that. They don't discuss, and we talk about that in our other segment.
Right.
To really be on their guard as to what is taking place, and don't let their heart go out first, you know. And then all of a sudden, 3 months later, find out, wow, what did I get myself into? You know, but it's all of the above. Everybody has talked about what we already talked about previously before they came on. So I congratulate you all. And I just want to say hello to my daughter. Hello, daughter. How you doing?
Hey, Dad. I'm good. I'm okay. How you doing?
See, she said, I'm okay. How you doing? Now you see, that's another story.
That's another story. That's right. That's another story. So, Laquita, when you have,
yes.
Oh, we talked about, you know, I'm fine. You know, what does that really mean when you say I'm fine? Or nothing's wrong. And the way that it's said, so we did go over those words. And the other one was, do I look like I've gained weight? So
say
that's
what?
Like, is that a trick question? Does it look like I've gained weight when she says that? So the man is thinking, okay, if you're not talking, can you mute your line, please? Thank you. Is that a trick question? That's what he hears. And what she really means is, I'm feeling self-conscious and need a compliment from you right now. So that's
well,
why
you know
we're
what,
saying what was right.
Okay.
Well, too bad I wasn't around for those.
Hold on. We can go back. We can revisit them, but you
okay.
know, go ahead, Laquita.
I was going to say, do you want me to respond to that or to the one about the dishes?
To the one about the dishes is the one we're on right now.
Okay. The gentleman that was speaking before my dad started speaking, he said something
Aaron.
About maturity. I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a sense of maturity. As you grow, when you grow older, at 25 years old, the communication is different because there's a lack of maturity, and I think there's a lack of maturity on both ends, on the end of the female
okay.
and on the end of the male. But as you grow older, then the and you know who you're dealing with, the giving and receiving tends to change. So if I am, we all have that friend who always want to wash dishes, but then when they get ready to wash the dishes not really clean. But you don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want to say anything until you get tired of cleaning, tired of having to rewash dishes. So.
Right.
We all have that. So in a relationship, this is my opinion, in a relationship, you know, is it worth, the dishes are not clean, is it worth hurting that person's feeling? Is it worth it, or is it something else? And the dishes is an excuse to have another blow up. I'm angry about something, and every time I go in the bathroom, you leave the seat up. Well, it's not really the seat being up that's the problem. It's because I have something else that's going on, but the seat being up is the trigger. So the dishes is the trigger. It's the trigger. And as you grow older, you know, the male and, you know, in the relationship when you know each other, and if there's maturity there, they know, okay, you know what, baby, this isn't about the dishes. What's really going on?
Mm-hmm.
And taking time to hear her out, listen to her is important, because women want to know. We don't need necessarily for men to solve our problems. We need for them to listen to our problems. Sometimes we just want to be heard. We don't need it. We don't need it fixed. And I think the makeup of men is to fix. They want to fix. And when they can't fix, they feel helpless. I have friends, and I have some physical issues and some health issues. And there isn't anything that can be done about them. And sometimes my friend feels helpless. Because, you know, how can they fix it? Men are wired to fix things. Those my two cents.
Exactly.
That was good. That was so true. So
good. Have you guys ever heard of men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti? Okay.
No.
Have you guys ever heard of waffles and spaghetti?
I heard that.
So I do. So I'm a relationship communication coach, right? And so I do relationship communications where I have men and women. I do events with men and women couples, and it's a communication event. And I do this whole thing. Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. And what that simply means is that women are multitaskers, and we're by design. We can talk on the phone, cook dinner. Take care of the kids, do this, do that. Like, for instance, I'm talking to you guys now while I'm doing a format of a book and listening to something and have the TV going on with background noise, and I'm still doing what I do. So that's spaghetti. So what happens when you cook spaghetti? When you drop spaghetti in the pot and it starts to when you put spaghetti on your plate and it's all over the place, right? It's when you put your sauce in, you don't know where one end starts and where the other end finishes. And then so waffles are waffles? Waffles are compartmentalized. As women, because we multitask, we expect for men to be able to do the same thing. So when we're talking, when a man comes up and starts talking to us, we're able to see what's going on the TV, still listen to what they have to say, and be able to repeat what they said. But we as women want to go and talk to a man while he's watching the ball game. Or why he's playing golf, or why he's fixing the car. He's compartmentalized. He's focused on that particular thing. He's not ignoring us.
Only that.
We're not being ignored.
Uh-huh.
He's focused on that one thing. And we are unfair sometimes because we expect men to think and act like we do. And my favorite thing is when we're upset, and the man doesn't understand why we're upset, but he's supposed to know because we didn't communicate it, but he's supposed to know because all of a sudden he's psychic. that's a short synopsis of men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. And when we learn who we are and how to communicate as such, then our communication and our relationships become better.
Okay. I like that. Can we have comments from, let's start with Aaron.
Yeah.
I know you like that.
That was right on. It was so real and scary.
Spot on. Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, and it's crazy because, and I'm going to be honest, I try to do that even with my kids. You know, I have 11 kids. I have 10 grown-ups and one young one. And my grown-ups, they're grown. They got their own kids. And when they call me about something, I have to catch myself. Because with my boys, I want to give them an opportunity to fix their own problems, but I want to give them all the answers. With my girls, I just want to fix them. I don't want them to figure nothing out. And it's so right because with my girls, I want to fix the problems. and not tell them how to manifest the way to get back into it. With my son, I want to just give them the key to fix your own problem. In relationship.
Okay.
And like you said, we want to fix ailment. We want you to feel better. And I found out why. Now that I'm 6 years old, I found out why. I want to fix them because I rely on them for everything. And if something is wrong with them, then I'm in trouble. You know, it's like your, no disrespect, ladies, but it's like your car. The car runs right and everything is on point. And when a woman doesn't feel well, or she's having a bad day or whatever, what's wrong, babe? Oh, I'm okay. No, you ain't okay because you ain't. What's wrong? I can't even give her that moment to just deal with stuff. I need her to be okay right yesterday. And because if she ain't okay, my male immaturity, my male counting on women for everything, and we do. This is why men go to clubs, strip clubs, and stuff like that, and give money to women that ain't cook them a bacon. Because we need you guys to make us feel complete. You know,
okay.
That's why I know it's like single guys meet with single guys. They complain about women, they have the same complaint, or they co-sign the same complaint. But men in relationships, we kind of have a better understanding that we got to fix this person after who we're in a relationship with, because if we don't, we're not complete. We can't walk out where we can't do what I call the rooster walk. We need a woman
you
to
like
be okay. As you said, we're wired to fix everything. But the reason why, and I love what you just said about we're wired and we want to fix things, but I'm going to tell you the truth why we want to fix it. Not because we're heroes, because really, we're victims of our own pride. And we need a woman here to make us feel like we're complete. You know, we need her to say, you did a good job, Johnny. And because if not, we don't know where we're at. We don't know where that line is at.
Okay.
And women teach men where the line is at. Like, I mean, look, I am not good at relationships. I mean, I'm not being terrible. But growing up, I've never really been good at understanding how a woman thinks. But as I get older, I understand that I can't fix all her problems. Like she said, I sprain my ankle. Well, baby, if you rock a little, you put some Bengay on it, and you put some ice on it, we need her to hurry up and get better. Because what if I can hurt? What if I can get the same back? Oh, a woman can take care of herself. A little bit of, you know, company to get past that. So, yeah, thank you for what you said. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Laquita. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, she explained it so easily. I mean, I love having her on the show. I love having Aaron on the show. I love having Dustin on the show. I love having Sergeant Parks and Reverend Carolyn. Because each of you brings something unique to my show. I just really appreciate what you all do. And, you know, when you call in and have these wow moments for other people to hear and understand, that was so easy, spaghetti versus waffles. So easy. Thank you. All right. So. Our next one is what she says, I love you. What he hears is, I love you and I want to have sex with you. But what she really means is, I love you and I'm picturing you as a husband and father right now. So who wants to go first on answering that or commenting on that one? I'll go. Everybody raise their hand at once. Okay, go ahead.
I'll go. Again, it depends on where she is. Where she is in her maturity and where she is, period. And I'm Sergeant Parr still on this call.
Uh-huh.
I want to
be.
I have the, okay.
Hold your ears.
I have to mute him because of the other noise.
Okay. Hold your ears, Sergeant Park. And we're in, without being disrespectful and not being graphic, but when there's maturity, the tides change. Before there's maturity, then sometimes love could mean lust. And there are sometimes when the tides change because back in the day, it was unheard of for a woman to approach a man in an aggressive sexual way. And now it's just so twisted. So it's all over the place. But so I'm a single woman, so I'm not doing that. But in the day, back in the day, love, when you, depending on where you are emotionally, when a woman tells a man that she loves him, it's an emotional connection, and she means it. She believes that she means it. And, you know, of course, with me and her, love and lust is intertwined. And they love is just a word without meaning to a lot of men, just to get what they want, just to get what you want. So but for a woman, typically when there is an emotional connection with a man, there doesn't have to be sex involved. Sex is just a physical act, but an emotional connection, when women are connected to a man emotionally, it means something to her.
Because it's like she's just giving everything of herself.
Right. It's not about the sex. It's about the connection. It's about the she feels connected to him. She feels safe with him. She feels free with him. So it doesn't have, sex is on the list, but sex is not at the top of the list.
Okay. I look for that. Sister Carolyn.
Yes, ma'am. She said a mouthful. I'm agree with her. Because sometimes, a person can think that sex is everything in a marriage. But if there's no communication, no relationship, then that's just nothing. But as you said, sometimes, If there's that no communication, no relationship, then they'll say the right words just to get what they want. And then once they've gotten what they want, then it's back to the same old, same old. So it goes back to that communication. If there's communication, even if there's not that sex involved, there's still that relationship, there's still that bond, there's still that freedom with one another. So I agree with this, bless the Lord.
Okay. I agree with that. I'll go for that. Okay.
What a man's point of view on this one.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've come to understand that women live to love. Men must live. And men are wired in a predator type state as far as sexual. Where sexual is at the top of the list. Now you got a lot of chapters of jumping truth on this. And it's not like we look at everyone the same or thing, but we're in a relationship. And if we are sexually satisfied, we are very submissive to the woman we're with. Because with us, where a woman has a lot of different departments as far as relationship-wise, men, we're comfortable with just that one. You know, that sexual, you know, entertainment.
That special.
We're okay. That night, we're opened up to listen. We're opened up to hear. We're opened up. And the respect wants you to feel better, so at night we both to feel better. You know what I mean? I believe that people on the other side is, when women get to, well, I think Steve Harvey wrote a book that said, you know, act like a woman, think like a man, okay? And basically, it's not that hard.
I have that book.
We're not that hard to satisfy. I mean, we really aren't. You know what I mean? We're sensual. The sensual and being respected is our two things. That's pride. Both of them induce in pride. And if a woman loves us, she keeps us, respects us, we're good with those two things. And okay, sexual and respect, we're good. That completes us. We really don't look for too much outside that. But what I try to explain to women is, women try too hard to make us understand how they think. And men have a brain way of thinking. If you don't push me, I'll figure it out. But a lot of things I'm in this world nowadays is, like I tell a lot of people when I talk to them, I'm life coaching them, is that you cannot push a man too hard and make him understand, well, we deserve this, and you should know how I think. You should know how I feel. And I guess that's when we go back to the You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or that took up too much weight. That's that all the time. You know, we can catch in a conversation with our peers, but we don't catch that as far as, you know, you just saying. You know what I mean? Because you say to me, well, if my stomach, and I pick up too much weight, first thing you say is, you know, I go to the gym, why don't you come with me? See, we see the outside thing. We don't see the inside. We don't even check.
Okay.
We make it to go to work and figure out, like, uh-oh, I think I answered that wrong. So we'll come home with roses. You know what I mean? If a man has a problem, a woman coming with roses, what you bring this for? You buy them for yourself? Because we're not thinking of our babies. Men and women are wired different. But men are being forced in today's society, we're being forced to understand, to know, and to fix the solution on that aspect that we should know how you think. You know, and we're not wired that way. From males, whether we're elephants, whether we're amphibians, whatever we are, all those male, anything alive male, is thrive on procreation. So God didn't give us a whole lot of room in that. You know, we just procreate. Well, women are nurturers. But we have to understand how to nurture women, and a woman got to give us time. Don't think because you told me on Tuesday, I'm going to act right on Friday on that, because that ain't going to happen. Because we're driven by sexual imitation. This is why they can sell tools and cars with a woman hair play, which one does not make no difference to another. That is how things are done. It's how the man's mind is wired. You know, and to prove my point, how many, you know, hey, Claire, like this was true, how many strip clubs you got? And you compare male strip clubs to female strip clubs. Male strip clubs outnumber women strip clubs 1,000 to 1. Because that's
how, you know, that
how we're driven. It is how we're driven. You know, you got a female on the side of the road, if she dressed a certain way or looks a certain way, depending on how she looks, men will pull over fast. If she doesn't look a certain way or dress a certain way, most men, she got now, she got a cell phone. She calls. She calls for help. You know what I mean? And we're just people as well.
Right.
So, you know, we're just wired a different way. And in today's world, men, just like the LGBT community and everything, we're all being forced to accept something that we may not truly understand. And I just think a lot of conversation, I'm quite sure Ms. Parks and a couple of relationship counselors, she probably sees that more than anybody else. But men think one way, 100%, and women think the other way. And a man is made to sit down and show his emotions, and that's I give kudos to any relationship counselor, because men, we really sometimes just don't want to hear it. We just don't want to hear it.
Okay.
It's too much work. I pay the bills. That's why men go out and pay bills and buy drinks and do all that, because we don't want to try to decipher how you really feel. We just want to know, you're kind of feeling me, let's do this. If I like what I'm doing, then I like to continue the relationship furthermore. And then men start to fall in love. Then men start to understand that woman. But from first reaction to seeing a woman, he sees sexuality. He sees her in a sexuality basis with pleasure. And then he does that, and he may like her, and he has to go forth with kids, yada, yada, yada. But the beginning of a relationship, when a male sees a female, it's a sexual invitation. When a woman, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me sit on my side of the line if I get drunk. But when a man sees a woman, he has to see something that he is sexually attracted to. And then it can grow from there. But being educated on, I'm more than just that. But I'll tell her, yeah, you probably are. But let's wait till we get to second base, and then let's rap about it.
We started at the beginning. Sorry.
Well, let me go back to first base.
I ain't going backwards. I'm not going between first and second base. Sorry. Sorry.
Well, men like to hit a home run once they get the bat. But women with integrity and self-esteem, I understand. If I let you hit the home run, you ain't going to come back to the baseball field no more. And if you do, you're not going to come to the second place. I want to come back. Because you can't go from, like I tell women and I tell my daughters, you can't just let them hit a home run first time and then expect him the next time to dug out and have a conversation.
Just to walk around the bases.
That's
right.
See you in that way.
Right. Okay. I like that. I can go for that. I can completely go for that. I'm going to bring Sergeant Parks on the phone. I know he's busy cooking, so I'm going to bring him on the phone so he can do two things at once. Sergeant Parks, you out there?
Yeah, I am definitely here, present and accounted for. You know, everything that's been said so far, hey, it's right on time as far as I'm concerned. With the exception of, I'm thinking more or less about our young women now. I think that they pretty much know what we think that they don't know. And we probably need to be getting them to be tougher about what is coming ahead, because we've been there, we've done that. So I think that if we pitter-pat them too much, I know I'm sort of like that with my grandkids and stuff. They're so young, I just want to let them have their way, and then I want to send them back to their parents, you know. Yeah, I think that we need to be real and upfront, you know, teaching them that everything is not as it should be, you know.
Right.
Part of me and my relationships and stuff, and I'm just finding this out about the last 10 years, go back to my great-great-grandparents and what took place with them, you know.
Okay.
And I'm saying, wow, I didn't even know that. Well, I never took the time and stuff to know where in the hell I came from, you know, and who my grandparents and my great grandparents and stuff was. And when I found that out, I was saying, wow, you know, really?
Different story.
Yeah, you know.
Different story.
I'm not saying it was in the DNA, but I don't know. Maybe we done heard that song before. You know, so that's the only thing I have to add to that. I think that everybody is right on time, and I think that I'm real blessed to be on this phone call, especially with my daughter.
Of course,
she didn't get that from me, you guys. She didn't get that from me. You know. Okay.
Okay.
I also agree with everything that you said, because it's reality. It's really reality. So that's my comment, and I'm sticking to it.
That sounds like my stuff. Okay. Inez, do you mind if I share some a couple of the excerpts from Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti?
Please do.
Okay. So this part is, and this is from my event that I do on some of the material. But this is Men Are Like Waffles. Men process life in boxes. And the men on the call, if you disagree or you agree, let me know. Men process life in boxes. If you look at waffles, you see a collection of boxes separated by walls. The boxes are separate from each other and make convenient holding places. That is typically how men process life. Their thinking is divided into boxes that have room for one issue at a time. Each issue of life goes into its own box. Most men live in one box at a time. When a man is at work, he is at work. When he is in the garage tinkering, that's the only box he is in. If he is watching TV, cutting grass, etc., that's his box for the moment. When he is in his box, he appears to be in a trance and can ignore, unconsciously, everything and everybody around him. It has been labeled compartmentalizing. A man will strategically organize his life in boxes and then spend most of his time in the boxes in which he can succeed. He will only pursue the boxes that he believes he can succeed in and avoid those he can't succeed in. Women will try to hold conversations with men while with him while he is in the box and wonder why he is grunting. She believes he is ignoring her because she thinks he should be able to just conform in a moment's notice to her. No, men feel best about themselves when they are solving problems. Therefore, they spend most of their life doing what they are best at while they attempt to ignore the things that cause them to feel deficient. That's the men are like waffles. Now, women, on the other hand, are like spaghetti. Women process life more like a plate of pasta. If you look at a plate of spaghetti, you notice there are lots of individual noodles that all touch one another. If you pick up one, you will notice that they are all connected for the most part. That's the way women process life. Family, friends, associates, work, home, and play works like a plate of pasta. That's why women can multitask. Every thought and each issue in life connects. Life is more of a process for women than it is for men. She can talk on the phone, prepare for convocation, treat the dog, make a shopping list, work on an agenda for next week, beautify herself, et cetera, all in one seamless motion. They solve problems differently than men. Women have this need to talk things through, unlike men who just grunt. When they communicate, they link logic, emotions, relational, and spiritual aspects like a plate of pasta. This can often create issues with couples. While she is making all the connections, he is trying frantically to jump from one box to another and keep up with the conversation. He will change the subject five times before he can switch boxes and can't understand why he appears not to be listening. His eyes are rolling back in his head like a tsunami of information that has swallowed him whole. When all is said and done, she feels better and he is drowning in his box. One thing that creates havoc in male-female interaction is that most men have boxes in their waffles that have no words. These boxes contain thoughts about their work, past, and present experiences that do not turn into words. Not all the wordless boxes have thoughts. There are actual boxes in the average man's waffle that contain no words and no thoughts and are blank as a blank sheet of paper. To help relieve stress in his life, a man will park in those boxes to help him relax. His woman always seems to know when he is in park. She observes his blank look and relaxed posture on the sofa. She assumes since he is so relaxed that this is a good time to talk, and she asks, "What are you thinking about, sweetheart?" "Nothing," he replies. She thinks he's lying. That's really true for a waffle man. She cannot imagine a moment without words in her head. When he says nothing, she thinks he's not truthful and just don't want to talk about it. She will say, why you always shut me out? She may become suspicious, he thinks, and so his eyes starts to dart his eye starts to dart looking for a box with some words in it so he won't disappoint her. If he can't find the word box, he feels a sense of failure because he does not know how to explain to her that some things his mind just goes blank. Sometimes his mind just goes blank. He has lived like this all his life. Sounds impossible in her mind. The differences between men and women are not limited to communication. They think differently, process emotions differently, make decisions differently, and learn differently. Nevertheless, they complement one another so beautifully that a healthy relationship makes both partners complete. Love, learn, live in the opposites attract philosophy between each other and be patient with each other's differences. Celebrate what you have in common, relax in the differences, and grow in the play of your love. Share the waffle and spaghetti and be filled on your love juices.
I teach this in my
relationship communication classes because especially because it's just a matter of learning to communicate.
Right.
And it's not just relationships. Parents and children trying to raise a boy child. A male child, female child. It's all in the communication. How you communicate at work, how you communicate with your friends, with your family. Learning how we communicate and the differences, it makes the communication better.
Right, gotcha. Interesting.
I like that.
Go ahead. Yep. Yes.
That is the most on-point thing I have ever heard in my life, other than inhaling exhaling. That right there, I got a lump in my throat.
It's the truth.
Because
it's the truth.
I got a lump in my throat because, when a woman talks to me, wants to talk to me, I mean, look, can you cut to the chase, please? Get to the bottom line. It's like I don't want to hear all the answers. I want to tell me the first, like you said, waffles. Now, your waffle thing has made me understand that I am Waffle House. That is just how I am. When I'm handling certain things, that's where I'm at. When I'm here, that's where I'm at. On the couch thing, definitely on point. You know, that's and because we want to be experts in every little part of that waffle, we're okay right here. I have heard questions. What are you thinking about? Nothing. Well, we all know the man never thinks nothing. But in our mind, he says nothing. I'm good. Because for two things. One, I'm okay where I'm at. Two, I don't go that deep. Most men don't go deep. Unless we're talking to other men. You know, it really hit home with me because, you know, that is like the truest thing in the world. We're okay when we're doing one thing, one task. We do not multitask. And I ain't gonna lie, until this conversation just now, I thought I was a multitasker. No, I'm not. I'm multitasking within that little waffle hole. That's it. And everything has to do with where I'm at, what I'm doing, and everything is about that main point. That's it. Whether I'm fixing the car, going to work, reading a book, writing a book, that's where I'm at. You can't come to me and talk about one thing and ask me about something else. I'm telling you, I can't do it. I can't. And I understand now that the woman I've been with, and had I heard this conversation when I was 20 years old, I probably wouldn't be with my kids. But because I personally will go, if you don't understand me in a box of men, I am moving on. I never thought about that she's doing this out of nature. I thought she was just picking. You know, if I'm sitting watching a baseball game and you want to talk about what I said last Tuesday, see, we're going to have a problem. I don't want to talk about last Tuesday. I ain't going to lie. When I was young, I used to say, what's wrong? And if they didn't answer me, I said, look, you got 5 seconds. If you do not tell me right now, I am not going to talk about this no more further. Because why? Now I understand. I'm going to another box. I can't come back to this box.
Okay.
I can't come back to this box That's why either we deal with it when I ask her, okay, come on, please, come in this box, tell me what's wrong. But now she don't want to talk about what's wrong. She's been trying to talk about it for 10 weeks. And now that I'm saying, okay, I'm going to listen now. And she says, well, not right this second. Well, baby, you miss yourself. And mostly, I'll be honest with y'all, women, if you want to get true, real answers out of the man, you better do it before coitus. Because if you, and you say we're going to talk afterwards, like cuddling and spooning, man, it's not going to happen. And we'll make it so guilty because we can't, you know, understand that point. But we're going to talk about it. We'll make it so guilty that we don't understand how you feel. Because, I mean, I'm in that box. You know what I mean? And most men are rarely, and I'm quite sure Mr. Parsons will understand what's happening. Most men, we don't feel guilty about what we don't understand. We just feel like he's tripping. No, sir, he's tripping. You know, when actually she's saying, I guess I'm here now, you know, talk to me. Listen to what I'm saying. She just has to understand, I'm not in that box right now, so that's going to be Marilyn Pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so,
right,
yeah,
right.
I have to give this part to you, but you're a heck of a couples coach. If I had you years ago, and I'll tell them where I'd be right now. Because I only knew what I was thinking in that moment at the box of the men. I cannot go outside that box.
Interesting. And Sergeant Parks, do you want to compliment on the spaghetti and the waffles?
Yeah, well, you know, in my later, in my former years, there was no such thing as a box because
okay.
It was all about me. It was all about me.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But you know, you get to learning over through the years that if you want to really be, if you want to really be sincere in what you're doing, then
mm-hmm.
you know you're gonna have to give more than you take. You know, in my younger years, hey, that shit. That box that my daughter was talking about, I know nothing about no box because I know that 2 years from now I'm gonna be in Hawaii, and the next 2 years from then or 3 years that I was gonna be stationed in Fort Benning or somewhere else. So, but yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But however, I still think that we still need to be cognizant of how we relate that. Okay, there's still some women that don't understand about that. Okay,
correct.
And they're still wondering. They're still wondering and stuff about what is taking place. So I think that this platform here gives us an opportunity to not go out and just try and get people, oh, this is what I learned about that, but to be able to support
mm-hmm.
people, especially young women that we know that
mm-hmm.
are in those boxes. So absolutely,
okay.
Kudos.
Okay.
And she didn't get that from me, y'all. She didn't get that from me.
She studied you.
You
okay?
Are stunning. Always, I didn't get that from you. You know, I like this topic, Inez, because
uh-huh.
and it should be, we should have topics like this more. And I like what you said, Dad, about younger women. I have two daughters, and as they're
uh-huh.
you know, they're 32 and 27, and they're, you know, they and my son too. They call me and we have candid conversations about their relationship. And it's funny because when they were younger or when they were growing up, they've had the conversations now with like, okay, don't tell mama this. You know, don't say this to mama. And so now And we had, I mean, my children are very candid. They're very candid and very honest with me. Some things they would not say. And now it's like, okay, they'll say something like TMI. But as they grow, you know, I wish I would have done things differently. I wish I would have been a little bit more open with them as far as relationships. Mm-hmm. But as I was growing up, I was more in the mindset of, you know, I don't want to hear this. This is what, you know, I had my blinders on where they were concerned. And because things wanted to be done a certain way. And I, other than that, I don't have real regrets because I had to maintain my household and I did the best that I could with that. But as they grew in relationships, I'm glad that they are comfortable enough to talk to me now because it's all about communication. And a lot of marriages would be solved if people would just communicate. And even with children, when you have, even with children, when you grow up as a child, when you grow up and you live in the household with your mom and your dad and you don't get affection and you leave the house as a girl, you live in the house feeling like, you know, dad doesn't love me, mom doesn't love me, but you don't know that, you know, mom was the product of date rape and she didn't know her dad, and dad suffered all this traumatic loss, and every time he felt like he got close to somebody, something happened. So he just learned to build a wall. It doesn't have anything to do with you. But because of that, you go out into the world seeking what you think you're missing from home. And then you get into these relationships, and you don't understand it. And it's because the communication from ground zero was not there. So as we go through communicating, it's the same thing. You know, we have to learn to communicate. So it's not fair for me to assume that the man that I'm in a relationship with knows what I want. It's not fair. I coached these people, and they eventually got married. But when they first started dating, it was Valentine's Day, and women, we have to stop doing this. We have to stop assuming that the man gonna get us something for Valentine's Day if we ain't telling what we want. She was very upset with the guy because he didn't get her nothing for Valentine's Day, and she was mad. And I said, well, did you tell him? And she said, no. Well, why not? Well, he should know. I said, well, what happened? But when I that was her side. When I talked to him, he said, I asked her what did she want to do for Valentine's Day, and she said it don't matter. So in his mind, she didn't want to do nothing. So he asked her twice just to be sure. And she said, oh, it's okay. We don't have to do nothing. So there was a game on. So what did he to do? He watched the game.
She was upset
because he didn't do anything. And he said, well, I asked you, and you said nothing. So we have to quit assuming that men know what we want when we don't tell them. The best way to get them to understand what we want is to tell them what we want. And if we don't get what we want, it's like the little kid. The mama say, what you want to eat? And the little kid say, I want McDonald's. And when the mama go, you think the mama going to McDonald's. But when the mama come back, she got some green beans, some mashed potatoes, and some steak. Some fried steak, and you're looking like, I wanted McDonald's. So she asked, she didn't get different. So we have to, as adults, we have to communicate and tell people what we want and be okay with getting it, but also be okay with saying, this isn't what I asked for.
Okay. Sister Carolyn, you want to say anything?
Well, praise the Lord again. That's a whole lot. But I do agree that you have to communicate and have to say.
Uh-huh.
And if that, when you're in a relationship where you cannot communicate or say what you like or dislike or what you want or don't want, the other person may get bit out of whack with what you like or dislike or not want or what. But it goes back, you know, to communication. And I agree with this waffle thing, spaghetti thing, because
Exactly. Once they're in their box, I don't care what you do, you can't. Well, not everybody like that, but all I can speak is on my personal boat here. They get in that box, get in that box, and you can't say nothing. You can't multitask, watch the game or listen to what you say, or shall I say, look at the game and listen to what they just, they can't do it. But there has to be, a remedy for men who are, I don't want to use the word stuck on it, but who's in that box thing and ain't trying to help shift the box, if that makes sense, or make the boxes better or do better.
Right.
Yeah, it's no need.
Enlarge the boxes.
I read something today, and it says observation, meaning you see what you see, you know what you see, or vice versa, if you hear, and then you understand, you've interpreted what you've seen or heard, or you really, really understand what you've seen or heard, without application is abortion. And that was very deep. We can observe the whether it's he or she, whatever the situation, and got a problem or attitude flying, and we can get an understanding why the attitude is flying, but we never try to do anything to make the flying attitude be better. It's like you got to want to do something with what you observe and what you hear and what you see. Now, you can't fix things, but you got to want to try to better things and do something about what it is you're observing and what you're understanding. You got to make some changes.
Okay.
And so when you don't want to, that's where it's the abortion, that's failure. Nothing is going to go right. It's just going to be a drop ball, so to speak. So really, really, really good. Most male and female need to be on the shoulder here. The coach, we call her the coach, because she coaches people, she counsels people in this area, you know.
Right.
And it makes it fun and exciting and challenge your thinking, you know, and that's what a lot of times people don't get is, their thoughts challenge, their thinking challenge, because they're easy to get mad or get upset and say, I don't have to do that, or that ain't me, or blah, 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 when the reality it just may be. So.
Okay. So I have a question to the men and to the women, and LaQuita has brought up Valentine's Day. So men, first I'm going to direct this to men. If you give your loved one, wife, girlfriend, fiance, whatever you want to call her, you know, insignificant other, significant other, things throughout the year, do you give her larger things on Valentine's Day? Question part. Question part.
Yeah. Yeah, I had another call on the other line.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like I say, I want to try and be straightforward and just do it, you know. In my age now, that I forget a whole lot, so I got these calendars stuck around all over the house, you know, that's telling me what's going on and what's happening. I have so many grandkids and stuff that I still can't remember when their birthdays and stuff is, but, you know, I just try and be proactive, and stuff. You know, in my younger days, I really don't care. I would say, I forgot, you know. I don't really know. Forgot about that, you know. But in my older years and stuff, I'm a little bit, you know, I want to think about everything. My goal and stuff is to try and be a better person than I was yesterday, you know.
Okay.
Try and understand better, try and be you know, more listening. I can't do anything about the past. Only thing I can do is about the future, about what's happening now. You know.
Okay. So I'm talking about Valentine's Day, though. I'm talking about Valentine's Day. If you do, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to be proactive. You know, I'm gonna get that box of candy and that rose.
But I'm just saying. So, but I mean, if you do things throughout the year for her, and then, but do you do a more grandiose thing on Valentine's Day?
Oh no, we're not in for grandiose. You know, we're just in for little simple things, you know, and just make sure you keep the conversation going. And if you're angry about something or you get the truth about something, talk about it. You know, don't talk about it when both parties are hot and heavy and I got it on my mind and I'm right and you right. Just say, okay, speak your piece and this is what I said and stuff, and then get it past you. Get it past you.
Okay. Aaron?
Yes, I'm here.
You heard the question?
No, not actually. I just like what I was hearing. And as far as question is, what does a man realize when he is being, if that's a question, but at the same time, feeling like he's being bombarded or feeling like he's being under the attack, like he's being attacked. And, I mean, I felt that. And I would like to ask the panel, especially as far as, like, how do we handle that when a woman is coming from the spaghetti side and we're already at the office? How do I, as a man, you know, control the narrative or get the narrative or see can understand that, you know, I feel under attack, so I'm going to respond like I'm being under attack.
Okay. But the question I asked was for Valentine's Day. If you do little things throughout the year for your, like I say, loved one, you know, spouse, you know, significant other, do you do grandiose things on Valentine's Day, or will she be okay with the same type of treatment on Valentine's Day that you've done throughout the year?
I personally, with my escape clause, my disclaimer.
Okay.
If you're gonna sum up our relationship,
you got no shoes on, boy. You're gonna get one of these sticks.
Here it comes. If you're gonna justify and give an ending just on February 14th, as though 364 days did not exist, I have a problem with that. I have a problem if you feel that I have to come so hard on that day. Cause I personally want to tell you guys the same things I've said over the years. Guys, if I'm so good, will give grandiose things for that day because there's so much they have to make up for. And things that they know they've done, but they feel it's good since they ever didn't know they've done, and they come with the flowers and the whole, and the whole, I mean, just something big. I personally try to be straight up, like, I don't do fakeness, so I'm not, that day means I'm not going to fall into it. And you know what, the sad part about it is, after this conversation, I've seen I've been wrong for many of years. And I just realized that, because I was thinking from my point of view, for 135,000 years, that I'm not buying nothing, I'm not doing anything, because, one, you're not doing anything. I mean, Valentine's is for lovers. Are we both supposed to receive on that day? I've never been a woman to hand it me. The only time I got something from a woman on Valentine's Day when I was in elementary school. when we exchange.
Little box of hard candy gangsters.
Right, right.
Okay.
I've never gotten it as a grown male. A woman never came to me and said, here's a box of candies, or here's your I love you for Valentine's Day. I've always been held captive in giving and not receiving.
Okay, so with you, it's like it should be even keel throughout the year, and she shouldn't expect anything grandiose on.
And even keel on Valentine's Day. Why is it that we have to bring something to the table, but the woman brings nothing to the table? And I'm going to tell you, over 80% of men don't receive anything on Valentine's Day. It's supposed to be a lover's day. Lovers means plural, meaning two people. Why is it that it only has to be one-sided?
Okay.
That's the only thing. Why? It's a lover's day. Lovers means two people. Why is it that the man is objected to solidifying that day? And, mind you, what if he does that day make significant whether he did something all year or not? He's done everything.
Okay.
Help paid the bills, take care of the career of responsibility as a man, but if he doesn't do something on that day and the anniversary day, he's in trouble.
Okay.
I just feel it's not fair. You know, let's be fair about this. It's Valentine's
Day. Right.
Where's my kid? It's the anniversary. Where's my kid? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Why is it based on me being okay with you when I've been that dude all year round? I don't have to make it for the lost cause.
That's what I'm asking, basically. So in your eye and in her mind, do you think that she would feel it's okay if you don't go crazy on Valentine's Day? That's what I'm asking, basically. So, if you have treated her like royalty throughout the year, do you think she should expect grandiose? Or is she the kind of woman that, babe, you've done so much for me throughout the year, you know, we could just have this as a regular day. And some people go
no,
for
no,
that.
No,
that's what
no,
I'm asking.
No, I think that if I've done my job all year, that I think that she should come on with a box of candy, too, for me.
Okay. Okay.
It's a lover's day.
Okay.
It's a lover's day. I mean, we should look out for each other.
Okay. Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Okay. And Reverend Williamson? So if your husband has treated you really well throughout the year, you know, with little trinkets here and there and so on and so forth, do you expect a grandiose Valentine's Day?
No. Okay. No.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Mm-mm.
And why is that? Because he has done so much for you throughout the year?
Well, yes, I guess I'm not one that's big on, I guess, receiving a whole. I'm more of a giver than a receiver. But if it's that way when it's been done, little things throughout the year, I don't have expectations that something on Valentine's Day or even my birthday would be grand, you know. Yeah, all big, blowed up or whatever, but thinking about birthday, I'll be 63 on tomorrow, so I'm grateful
that
you have a kill. I'm just easy, man. Life is too short to blow up over big stuff, some little stuff. One day at a time, if I wake up in the morning, that's the best gift of all. Hallelujah.
All right. Okay.
And whatever the day entails is good, and whatever don't entail is still good, because God is good.
All the time.
I don't have that expectation. I don't think it should be that if something kind is done, whether it's small or whether it's good throughout the year, that is done.
Okay.
That some a specific, you know, such as Valentine's or even birthday or whatever, that purchase it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Laquita?
So, I've never, you know what, I don't know if I've ever really been all that bought into Valentine's Day, but when I, you know, my kids would give me gifts, and I guess sometimes when you're used to getting something, you always think you're going to get something, like, you know, the kids would give you something, my son would give me something. But as I think about your question and the responses from the men, I wonder, and for the women, you know, I actually, a friend of mine was listening to this message, and he said, well, you know, I feel like his response was, I feel like if, you know, I do something all year long and, you know, why do I need to be grandiose or even do anything on Valentine's Day? I said, so what do you think about Christmas? What do you think about Christmas? Uh-huh. You do stuff all day long still, but when Christmas comes, you're not buying Christmas gifts?
Uh-huh,
do we have
uh-huh.
the same thought in mind? Okay, you know what? Well, you've been nice to me, and we've done things for each other all year long, so we don't have to do anything for Christmas or birthday. So the same concept could really apply. So if we're doing the same thing, Valentine's Day is one day out of the year, just like birthday, just like anniversary, just like Christmas, just like all of the holidays. So you pick and choose. I think Valentine's Day, for those who celebrate or recognize Valentine's Day, I think because it's considered a love holiday, men especially, a lot of times men tend to run away from that because it has the word love associated with it. And so if they feel like they're giving outside of relationships and not committed, if they feel like they're giving a gift, that makes a lot of men nervous, because they feel like if I give somebody a gift on Valentine's Day, it means something. And for the man, it could just be a gift. It could just be, let me give her some flowers because I may feel like I'm going to get some sexual exchanges tonight.
Okay.
So if I'm looking at I've been, you know, in a relationship or in a marriage, you know, we take care of each other. We do this for each other all year. Valentine's Day is commercialized. So it's not such a big deal. Not such a big deal. But when you look at Christmas, it's also commercialized, because we recognize Christ every day. So those are some of the things. So for me, and here's the thing, for me, if I want something bad enough, I'll go and buy it myself instead of waiting for somebody to give it to me, so I can grandiose my own stuff.
Okay.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I like that. Sticking to it. And then we had another caller, but the last four, my computer died, so I want to say, it had a bunch of fours and sixes, and it was a 41 something number. Are you still on the line with us? A 41, oh, goodness, what is the number? I believe the line is unmuted. So my computer has died. I'm in New Orleans. I'm attending a funeral, so I'm not at my home. So I have, what do you want to say? I'm in the car doing the show, but the last four was 7616. Are you still with us?
I am.
Okay. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm great. I'm just listening right now.
Thank
you, Karen.
Thank
you. A friend of Aaron's.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm just listening. I came
thank
in late,
you,
so
you,
I'm just
you,
listening.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. You're fine. You are fine. So what was I going to say? Okay, for me, you know, as everybody's saying, because if you do little things throughout the year, that should be that should be fine. In a perfect world, that should be fine and would be fine, but not everybody is uncommercialized. Not everybody is selfish. I'm saying not everybody, but a lot of people are selfish, so they look for things. So Well, I was good to you all year, and I think that we should do it, as the Queen was saying, it's commercialized, and it's for lovers. Well, if you're in love on February 14th, aren't you in love the rest of the year? Or are you just in love on that one day? Answer me that question. Okay? And so how I feel is, you know, you take time with your person. And if you don't have anything in the world, if you don't have any money on the 14th of February, what do? You spend time together. That is the best love that you could do with anybody, for anybody. I won't say against anybody. But in my opinion, this is my opinion, you know, it's nice if they do that, but it's not necessary because you've already done so much throughout the year. As long as we have time together and we have each other, if we don't have anything else, you would think that should be enough, you would think. So that's how I feel. That's how I feel. And like I said, my computer is dead, so I can't even see. I'm trying to see if I can't get some juice on in my computer. But I had another 50 questions, which we will probably do in, not next week, but the week after we'll have part four of 50 phrases of women, what they do, and the phrases that they say. So since, like I said, I can't do too much of anything else since I don't have any power on my computer, does anybody else have anything they'd like to say?
You know what? I think this is a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that I don't know if you've done it already, but having a show, and maybe Dad mentioned it, where there were young ladies to ask questions. I don't know, something they need to hear it. It's, you know, the tides will change, but they don't know that right now. And living in the now, you can't be forward thinking. So whatever is going on right now, this is the life. So, you know,
there's some way,
you know, where the young ladies can listen and what they're going through, being, you know, taking advantage. I'm hearing more and more stories as I write and help people publish their stories. I'm hearing more and more and more and more trauma stories of young ladies being abused and misused when they're, you know, 20 and 17 and 18 and 19. They're, you know, maybe doing something where they get a chance to just talk it out, not receive so much chastisement, the chastisement training, that sometimes young people don't want to talk, because they don't want to get the "you're in trouble" tone, but to be heard, you know, it's just a thought. But this is a great topic, right up my alley. I love it. Thank you.
And I do have another question of each of everybody on the panel. Okay, you and your, I should say, older self now, what would you go back to say in your younger self so that you could become a better older person in a relationship? We're going to start with Sergeant Park. Hopefully I don't have him on mute. Oh, I hope I don't have him on mute, because I can't see. If I do have him on mute, I can't do anything about it. So we're going to go to Reverend Carolyn. Reverend Carolyn? Okay, we'll go to Aaron. Are you still with us? But I think you had to go off and take a call from me. Another phone call. Okay, I guess Laquita, me and you, unless your dad can call in.
It's just me and you. I would
I would go back if I could. I would go back and tell my younger self to be more confident, and believe in yourself. You're good enough. I would give those affirmations to myself because, you know, growing up with all of my conditions, I didn't feel good enough, so I was quiet when I should have spoken up, and that's because I didn't know that I had a voice. So I would use my voice if in my younger self.
Okay. And then 7616 Karen, would you like to comment on that?
Not at this time.
Okay. Me, I think I have conversations with myself, with my younger self, and keep a diary of things that have gone on and in my life so that I can either tell my older self or even tell, hold on a second, I'm on the radio. tell my older self, you know, this, when I was young, as I say, I spoke up as a child. Now that I'm older, my ways have changed. And so that's one thing that I would love to do and to tell people now is I keep a diary. I love journal. I love diary of things that are going on, have gone on in your life, because you don't know what child you may have to mentor along the way. And so, therefore, if you have this diary, you can create a book. And Ms. Laquita Parks of Paper Republishing can help you publish your book.
Absolutely.
You like that, Laquita?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
You know, and like I said, I'm trying to see if I can get some juice.
So while you're doing that, I know we're getting ready to wrap it up, but can I share one last thing before we get ready to close out?
Please do.
And since you're talking about relationships, I know most of you have, or if not all of you, have heard the 80-20 rule, or what's your 80-20. Are you 80% committed or 20% committed? Is it possible to be 100% committed? If so, how? So you have to ask yourself, what is commitment? Commitment is seeking ways to enhance the relationship. Commitment is thinking about your partner and not just about yourself. Commitment is being faithful. Commitment is being loyal and responsive. Commitment is being dedicated to maintaining your marriage. Commitment is focusing on your partner's needs as well as your own. Remember, we're talking about needs, not wants. Commitment is being sensitive to your partner's past hurts and helping in the healing process. Commitment is visualizing yourself in a lifelong relationship with your spouse. Commitment is working to overcome barriers to communication. Commitment is remaining focused during difficult times. And commitment is planning for the future and establishing goals together. So a lot of times when relationships start to fail and communication is an issue, we look at the 20 and we focus more on the 20 than the 80. The 20% might be he didn't wash the dishes the way that I wanted him to wash the dishes. That's a 20%. That's not a deal breaker. But we focus so much on that 20% that it becomes an 80. Instead of enhancing what we have, we focus on those things that we don't have that are not a deal breaker. That was really the same issues when we got into the relationship and got married. So if we focus on the 80 instead of the 20, then our relationships will last longer.
Okay. Thank you. Erin, are you back with us? Okay, so never mind taking the call. And your father hung up. Okay. Reverend Carolyn, you out there with us? Reverend Carolyn?
Hold on.
Sound like it might be night night time.
It might be. So, I think that's everybody who wanted to say anything. But I just really appreciate you being on the line with. I really appreciate everybody being on the line with us. And I pulled up to the house so I can plug in a little bit. And what I have the next time, the next in 2 weeks, is what do women mean when they say these 50 things? So I don't know if we're going to go through all 50, but we can at least go and laugh and figure out what we mean when we say these things. But I do want to thank each and every one of everybody who joined me today. And it's always a pleasure. Next week, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Monica Jackson. Is that right? Dr. Monica Jackson, I believe.
Yes.
Laquita.
It's Dr. Monica Jackson.
And her
Jackson.
Book. Okay. And you want to tell the people who she is?
Dr. Monica Jackson, she wrote, she's a doctor of education, if I'm not mistaken, but she wrote an amazing book called Wounds of Wisdom, and she dives into those wounds. She talks about church wounds and friendship wounds and husband, you know, marriage wounds and, friendship wounds, and, She has an amazing story. She talks about workplace wounds. So looking at that, you're in for a treat.
And not only that, we will have in the future Mr. Wallace. And we also, I don't have all the names in front of me, but they are people who have written books and they're being brought to me by Ms. Laquita, and Laquita can talk about what she does as a publisher and who she is. And I was trying to get Aaron to talk about his book as well, but he's not with us at the moment. So you want to go ahead and tell us who you are exactly, Ms. Laquita, and what you do?
Certainly. Sure. So my name is Laquita Parks, and I am the CEO and founder of PayProV Publishing. And Pay-Per-V means pain, progress, victory, because I believe without pain there is no progress, and without progress there can be no victory. And I help people take their stories from a thought to a realization. I publish, I'm an author myself, author, communication coach, mentor, writing coach. I have published 5 books of my own, including a children's book called My Neighbors Don't Look Like Me. I have clients all over the country. And I love helping people. I'm working on, as we speak, I'm working on a series, children's book series, that will be coming out soon. I have another book that I'm working on for another client called Through the Eyes of a Child. That's an amazing story. Amazing story, Through the Eyes of a Child. Just published Daddy Tears, A Daughter's Search, where this woman searched for 40 years for her biological father. And she found him after 40 years. And got to spend some time with him before he passed away. And then there's Things a Father Should Say, Calvin Mann. I just released that book on Father's Day. I'm working on Anthony Wallace's book, Somebody Please Teach Me How to Be a Man. An amazing story of being abused by his stepdad. His mother was on drugs, and his stepdad abused him and abused his mother. And boys need to be, need mentors and need people to show them what to do as a man. And he didn't have that.
Right.
So he talked about what he went through on his quest to learn how to be a man. And, it's just like you're going to tell your child, go make up your bed, and you never show them how. So you tell them, get a job and it's not working, but you don't show them how to do it. So they just do it the way that they figure out how they think it should be done, and it's wrong. And then they have to learn the right thing. I'm working on a book called Liberty City with Travis Williams. Served 30 years in prison. It's some amazing. I have some amazing projects with some amazing people. And I just wrote two new children's books based on my grandchildren. One is called Gabby Learns to Count.
And the second one is called Christian's Busy Day. So I'm a pretty busy. And, of course, I have a radio show and I have a podcast show and I do a show on Clubhouse every morning, every Thursday morning called The Power of Your Story. Mm-hmm. I host the book slam where people can come on and read their books on Tuesday evenings, the second Tuesday of every month. So I stay busy, and I do creative writing programs. I just wrapped up my creative writing program this summer. I had three locations, three sites with about 80 kids. And so staying busy.
Definitely spaghetti.
Could not be a waffle.
But she has given me some books, and I want to read some of the books, the children's books, online, so that the children can hear these things, and they can learn about who they are, and you know, more about their neighbors that you know don't look like me, so on and so forth. So therefore, you know, we collab, you know, together so that we can, you know, get the word out, not just to the people who I have, but to the masses, because these stories need to be heard. And I listened to some of the reads the other morning or the other day on, I think, for the women authors of the book. Oh, my goodness. One book, Laquita says, she bought it, got it, and she read it that night. So that was like an amazing book. So, you know, there's things out there that we can help, you know, help others and, you know, learn and maybe get involved in and be an advocate of. And it's just, you never know what may touch you in some of the things that, you know, all of us do throughout, you know, these podcasts, these meetings, these just being on Blog Talk Radio. So I just want to appreciate each and every one of you for joining me. As I say in church, these are the announcements for the week. Tomorrow night is Wednesday night Bible study, and our new teacher is Reverend Ronnie Marshall, and we're having Bible study 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. It, tomorrow is God Unifies Your Creation, and that's taken from Acts 4:32-39. And then on Thursday evening, we have View of the Kingdom with Miss Stephanie Jordan, and she's out of Pine Bluff, and her time is at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. And I'm trying to do this because I don't have my keyboard, and I'm not really a real good person at doing this. And on Sunday, July 24th, we have, is Reverend Ronnie Marshall again, and he will be speaking to us at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And he also has a few albums out, and the one that's out currently out is Don't Turn Away From God, and it's sold on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and all music media. And he also has a video to go with that book. And I'm learning, y'all, so just bear with me. Come on down here. What else do we have? The video is on his, on his title song, Don't Turn Away From God. And, I mean, it's been selling quite well. So also November 12th in the future, so put this on your save-the-date calendar, November 12th and 13th is Women on Fire Conference through the Raw Power Ministry, and that's in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And that's at 9 a.m. on both days, Central Standard Time. And that is, if you're in that area, 2900 West 6th Street in Pine Bluff. And so to keep Let's Do It Radio on air, you can cash out $ Let's Do It Radio. You can Venmo me at the @ MZ-INEZ, or through Zelle. If you know my telephone number, you can Zelle me. And then again, if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, through Let's Talk About It, you can email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And don't forget to share on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and any of your other social media platforms you have, because, I mean, the word is getting is blog talk, getting it out there. So we talk about a lot of things. So, you know, share it. And there's something you may want to talk about, something that you may be going through, and you can be anonymous. You don't have to use your name or anything, but if there's something that's on your chest and you want to discuss it, you can discuss it with me on Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It. Let's Talk About It. And, and you know, you can email me. And, again, I want to thank each and every one of you and my worldwide listeners for joining in on tonight of Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It, Part 3, where we'll have Part 4, 5, 6, and 7. And we may just keep talking about relationships and, you know, bringing young people in. So if you know young people who have questions on relationships or what do you do about relationships, please, you know, let them know about this platform. And then on Thursday nights, the Stephanie Jordan, she talks about young women, young men, you know, the ideal woman, the ideal man, a woman's worth, a man's worth, the ideal woman for the ideal man. It's wonderful. So throughout the whole week, we just kind of piggyback off of each other. And I just want to thank each and every one of you again for listening and joining in through the chat room, through online, through calling in at the 845-241-9985 number throughout the week. And again, you can join me next Tuesday. Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It, and we could be discussing your topic. And I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais.co Design. And you can find me at www.anaisevalcour.com or on Instagram and Facebook on the same. And I'm going to ask a couple of things. If you were the janitor of the earth, how would you clean it up? And if you're going to be anything to anybody, be kind. Again, thank you for joining us this Tuesday, July the 19th, 2022, for Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It. Thank you, listeners, callers, and viewers for joining me. Have a wonderful evening. Stay blessed. Be blessed. And please, please, please pray one for another. Have a good evening, and thank you again for joining us.